This sound expressed the devotion of David and it resembles Paul's letters. The beautiful letters from Paul, you know when he wrote those letters? When he was in prison. Now this beautiful song and others, beautiful and powerful songs, were written when David was in the wilderness. And the ancient church, about this psalm, had the practice of beginning the singing of the psalms at each Sunday service with Psalm 63. This is the early church. This is what scholars say. And they called this hymn the morning hymn. So now we should have the sermon in the morning because it's called the morning hymn. But David was a man who knew what it means to live under pressure. As I said, sometimes we are under pressure. We have problems. We have our health is not well. Our family. But as the king of Israel, he knew about being under pressure. And before he was a king, he was under pressure from King Saul. When he was a king, during his reign, his son Absalom led a rebellion against him. And he was where? In the desert. In the wilderness. Psalm 63 shows us the priority of this man of God when he was under pressure. If you or I, we were under pressure, we could say, well, God, save me. This isn't a typical psalm. This is not a prayer. This is David speaking to God. And some scholars say that this Psalm 63 contains no petition. David expresses longing for God's presence. He just expressed his love for God. So maybe as we come to the Lord's table, the first thing we need to learn is that if I want fellowship with God, I want communion with God, I need to have a longing for communion with God. The first two verses here are about a longing for communion with God. He is in the wilderness in Judah. That is the title in your Bibles. Perhaps you have the title that he is there in the wilderness. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 23, he is pursued by Saul. And Saul has 3,000 soldiers. David has only 600. And he is there. Saul wants to kill David. He's after David. And then he's in the wilderness. He is in the wilderness of Ziph. It's very bleak, rocky, and sand. It's a depressing place. That's the place where David is. You know what he does? His statement is this: you, God, are my God. But he's in a depressing state. He says, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. Early I seek you. I am possessed by you. I belong to you. And David reflects on the Lord and mercy of God. He's owned by God. He says, I want to seek you. I want to be with you. Yes, I have this problem. I am running away from Saul or maybe from Absalom. And they said, I want to be with you. My whole being longs for you. The King James Version says, my flesh longeth for thee. I want to be with you. It doesn't mean he's, in the New Testament, we have this feeling of his failing nature. No. What is it that you like? I know Magnus likes music. What is it? Ice cream. That's okay. What's wrong with ice cream? You know, I love, I really love music. And sometimes I could, it's dangerous. You are driving and suddenly you get lost, you know, in the music. And I love to ride sometimes, you know, when I have time. I love that. And maybe you like ice cream. But like I said, I love McDonald's as well, but that's dangerous, you know, for your health. But he's talking about that. You love that. So you are doing music, you feel okay, you feel, you know, or maybe, you know, well, I don't know, what is it that you like? You like your ice cream and you are like in heaven, isn't it? And then, that's what David's talking about. Say, look, my flesh long for thee. Jesus Christ says that if we want eternal life, he says in John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you. We are studying experiencing God, and that word means they experiencing you. And believe in the one who sent me. Now, David said, oh my God, I love you. I just want to be with you. If we love Jesus, I want to experience Jesus. I want to spend time with him. I want to just be lost with him. If you love ice cream, you want to run after the car, isn't it? You have the noise of the car. You know, if you like music, you want to be lost in music. If you like football, you don't mind to pay thousands of pounds to go and see them playing, even if they are, you know. But why are you laughing? that's what David is talking about. He says, hey, oh God, you are my God. And he says in verse 2, I have seen you in the sanctuary. When Jesus says the words, this is eternal life, we cannot have that until we have a personal encounter with him. David has a personal relationship with God. This is how we must be with God. There must be a time when you don't think about anything. You love it, you are there. We can appreciate our jobs, our homes, our degrees, our blessings. But sometimes we end up worshiping our blessings. David is teaching us, what is it that we need to do? We give thanks to God for those things, but we are not to make these blessings our God. And you know what David does in verse 2? I have seen. Shall we read together verse 2? This is what he says. So we need to be excited to come to church. It seems that many times Christians, we are not. Where is where we're going to see the power of God? When we are in his house, this is what he has seen. This is not a prayer. David is speaking to God. He has seen the power of God in the temple. He has seen how the priest is there, you know, leading people in worship. David was in the wilderness. He is running away from his enemies. He have left his throne. He have left his wives. He have left his possession. And now he's in the wilderness. Maybe Saul wants to kill him, and he knows that he's been anointed. But David, he's not saying, God, give me my throne back. God, give me my job back. God, give me my wife back. God, give me. No, what he's saying, I want to seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. Your love is better than life. What amazing statements. Can we do that? You know what's the first thing we ask? God, I need a job. Let's be honest. I want my health back. I want to be successful. The first lesson, if you and myself want to have communion with God, is that we need to long for communion. That's what David is saying. He's not praying for deliverance. He says, I just want to spend time with you, Lord. The second thing is that we need to make a commitment. This is what David is doing here. Verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. He is making a commitment. The loving kindness of God is better than life. Life has no meaning for David. And so to have God's kindness is the best. It will move us to praise. He does only recognize. He said, I just want to worship you. Verse 4, another promise. I will praise you. As long as I live, and in your name, I will lift up my hand. I will praise you tomorrow. I will praise you the day after tomorrow. I will praise you the next week. I will praise you. Magnus was talking about, we are going to be praising God when he's coming for millions of years. So we need to be prepared. So, you know, you go there, all the angels are singing, you are singing. How do I join that? David is making a promise. I will praise you. We need to make a commitment. Now here, we need to be careful because he said, I will praise you as long as you live. And the first pledge that David made is to praise God all his life. And then David didn't literally lift up his hands. You know, David is not a priest. So he cannot lift up his hands. The priest is the one who leads the congregation. But what he is saying is something very important here. When we made a commitment, like, let's read verse 5. This verse 5 is just to give us a picture of what is it that we have to seek. Let's read verse 5. It says, I David is giving us a picture of a banquet. The banquet is there, and the picture is that all this food and beautiful things are on the table. If you are there, he's giving the picture that he has tasted every single one. I would love to be in a banquet like that. He's tasting all that. That's the picture. That's the picture. Oh, now, but here, David is saying this. If we want to have a sense of communion with God, we need to seek holiness. To have access to that. Okay, let's try to see. We cannot have a sense of communion without reflection about the feast that God offered us. Have you heard about these great names? Whitfield. Wesley. Charles Spurgeon. This man, when you read their stories, how they spend time with God, like David, seeking communion, they have access to that banquet. That's the picture. So you spend time reading the Word of God in prayer, trying to see, you know, do you desire that? How much do you desire to know God? Or you are content to come Sunday mornings or maybe Sunday evening, once or every twice a month? Are you content with that? Or every Sunday? In order to have access to that banquet, says David, we need to seek holiness. Hence the picture of lifting hands. Because only the priests were about, they were the only ones allowed to do that. It's terrifying. That's not the subject, but I'm just thinking as I'm speaking, is that, you know, when this picture of the priest coming to lead, and then you remember when he was going to do the atonement. Some people say that it's not the right thing to say, but they have like a line, you know, and then they were going to the Holy of the Holies, and they have a bell. So when the priest has to be in communion with God, holy, if they hear the bell, that means that the priest has managed to do it, his business. When the bell was not there, what happened? They have to pull the poor priest. He was dead. That's what David is saying. If we want to have communion with God, we need to seek holiness. There is a book called The Pursuit of God, written by A.W. Tozer. He says, come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourn for him. They pray and wrestle and suffer him day and night, in season and out. And when they had found him, their finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. You know, you read your, don't be content with the speaker, with the preacher, with the, you know, the guys who have become, you go and look for that. And then start checking, and they be saying, I will be satisfied. Holiness. Because we are closer. And David said, "On my bed I will remember. I think of you through the watches of the night." He could not sleep. He's just thinking about, you know, these wonderful things. I don't know you, but when you start reading these stories, you know, D.L. Moody and all these preachers, all these teachers, all these missionaries, say, so, "Wow, I want to do that." Don't you? Because they, like David, they were seeking. Oh, I cannot speak. Oh, I cannot. I don't have the knowledge. God will give it to you. God will give it to us. And the second, the next thing is that we need dependence upon God. Verse 7 and 8 are about dependence. Because our, let's read together, verse 7 and 8. Because safe under the shadow of the Almighty. God's loving kindness was better to David than life itself. Therefore, David says, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." What a beautiful balance. He says, David clings to God, but underneath it all, God's powerful hand is under David. In the Hebrew word translator clings here, like in verse 8, points to loyalty related to affection. It's the same word that we read in Genesis. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, they said, where it says, "The man will cleave to his wife," clings. And then the same word is described in Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, Ruth clinging to her mother-in-law. "I will not leave you. Your people will be my people. I will be there." And then that's the word. Your relationship with God is like the marriage. Marriage is not only about feelings. It's about commitment. So it's okay. We fell in love. You can fall in love every day. But marriage is about falling in love, but commitment. It's the same with the Lord. That's the reason why we see some people, that they come to the Lord and they fall in love with the Lord. Oh, what a beautiful. And then after a few weeks, after a few months or years, they don't want to know anything about the church. That is the picture. The commitment carries you through the hard times when the feelings may fade. How do you think David felt when he was in the desert? But sometimes you have to work, you know, in your marriage, you have to work in the ramens. But there is never, the feelings of love have to be there, but you have to work for it. Your marriage is in trouble if you only are relying on your commitment or only in your feelings. It's the same with the seeking after God means keeping your passion for God alive. Christianity is not just a matter of head, but also a matter of the heart. As you think of what God has done for you, you start reflecting. And your marriage, keeping your passion alive means saying no to some things. You have your friends, you play football or rugby or whatever. Say, I better go and spend time with my wife. Or the wife has your friends and they say, no, I'm going to spend more time with my husband. You make decisions. It's the same with God. You know, in the same way, nothing, not even your marriage and family life should come before your love and relationship with God. It's only then that we can have an anticipation of God's blessing. This is the last part of the song. Assured anticipation of God's blessing. David, having expressed his desire towards God and his praises, his confidence, he expresses his expectation. Now, as I conclude this evening, you know, verses 9 to the end is anticipation. Verse 9, those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depth of the earth. And now he said, they will be destroyed in many ways. Verse 10, they will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. Now, this is David. This is David. He said David knew that he has been anointed, so he knew that everything was going to be okay because God was with him. He knew that God has anointed him as a king. So the first part of the final verse is about him. He says, but the king will rejoice in God. That's the first part. It's about David. He has this anticipation, this certainty about the future. But I love the second part. This is for you and for me. The second part of verse 11, he says about the sure anticipation of God's blessing is, shall we read together the last part? Now you say, what is that? Well, the Hebrew word for that is this. All those who fear the Lord, all those who obey the Lord, all those who revere the Lord, all who swear by God will shine. That's what the Hebrew says. If we have communion with God, we seek Him, we know that He is with us, we depend on Him, we obey Him. He says, all those who swear by God, what? Will shine. This morning, Paul reminded us that we are to shine like stars. And that's how David finished. He says, this psalm is about communion with God. As I said at the beginning, it's only for Whitfield, it's only for young Charles Wesley, it's only for Charles Spurgeon, it's only for D.L. Moody, it's for everyone. David was not perfect, but he had communion. So may the Lord help us as we come to the Lord's table this evening. Are you seeking communion with God? May the Lord help us to know, to learn from this psalm, that we need to long for communion with Him. Oh, it's Sunday. Oh, we have communion. I better go and take it. Some people will say that. No, it's a longing. We need to make a commitment to praise God, whatever our circumstances. We need to depend upon God. He's in charge of your circumstances and mine. And finally, we will have the anticipation that He will be with us. Let us spend a moment in prayer before we prepare ourselves for communion. And Romans 5, verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You can be assured that God is with us when we long for Him, when we commit our lives to Him, when we depend upon Him. We can have this anticipation, and this is what we do as we come to the Lord's table. Let us pray. Father, thank you for David. Thank you for this wonderful lesson. That when we are in the wilderness, we can have a longing for a communion with you. When we are in the wilderness, we can be committed to you. When we are in the wilderness, we can't depend upon you. And when we do that, we can have the assured anticipation that you will be there for us. So, Father, thank you for that privilege to come to your Lord's table. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.